Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus admonished his disciples to watch, and he also warned them not to be deceived. Those imperatives are still important for us today as we draw ever closer to Jesus' second coming. God's eternal plans and purposes are going to be fulfilled, and no one will be able to stop them. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 13 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of verses 1 through 6.
In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Oh my, oh my. Did you hear what Jesus said? Your life is not measured by the amount of things that you possess. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. What's wrong is when, like the rich young ruler, your possessions or your riches have you. And Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness. Beware. Covetousness is the sin of the person who evaluates his or her life in material, earthly terms of comfort, pleasure, ease, and security. If a person's security is in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that security, whatever it is, whoever it is going to fail. You know what covetousness is? The Puritans said covetousness is embracing the false pageantry of this world's false, deceitful value system. I cannot help but think, dear ladies, of you when I look in the scripture and says in Proverbs 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Just watch the commercials. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The world's value system, it's twisted. It's upside down. Jesus sees things and values things so differently than you and I do. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul writes in verse 2, to those who have risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Take heed to yourselves. I can't speak for you, but I am so good at taking heed to and examining other people's lives. And I think we're a lot alike, my friend. We are so good at taking heed to and examining other people's lives, aren't we? And what Jesus is saying to you and me this morning is this. What are you going to do? What are we going to do with the truth that Jesus reveals here about the need to prepare for his return? How will the words of Christ impact and affect our value system? In light of Christ's exhortation about beware of covetousness and being overcharged with the things of this world, where are you or I laying up our treasures? How will the teachings of Christ about him coming soon impact your decisions and value systems? Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, when your children or grandchildren look at you, look at your lifestyle, are they getting the message that you are serious about living for Jesus Christ and getting the gospel out? Are they getting the message that you're living the way you do because you believe that Christ could come at any time? What value system are they inheriting from you, from me? Let me ask you, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, does the teaching of Christ on his soon return, and it is all over the New Testament, it's spoken of more than the new birth, which is very important, more than repentance, which is very important, more than sanctification, which is very important. The primary theme is that Christ is coming back soon. And does what Jesus say have more power, more impact on your lifestyle, your priorities, or your value system, more than Fox News or CNN or the most current conspiracy theory or news event or wind of doctrine that blows through the church? Does it? Are you media-driven or Messiah-driven? Earthly news-driven or good news-driven? Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Luke 19, verse 13, he says to you and me, occupy till I come. Occupy. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have been apprehended and we have been redeemed to live for Jesus Christ and to bring him glory. And let me remind you, one finger is pointing at you and three fingers are pointing back at me. Serving Jesus Christ and being about his will should be the priority of our life. It should be the most exciting thing that we look forward to. Did you ever look forward to a wedding? Did you ever look forward to a celebration? Did you ever look forward to a reunion? We all have. Or going to some spectacular event. We are headed for a time when Christ is going to take us up into glory with him. And living for him should be the driving force in our life. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we are to do with all of our heart for the Lord, to give him glory, to give him honor. We don't live for a denomination. We don't live for a creed. We live for the Lord that died for us, the Lord of glory. And one day, my brothers and sisters, you and I are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will give an account of how we stewarded the time, the talents, the money, the gifts that he has given unto us. What's your sense of urgency today, my friend? What is your sense of urgency? What do you find yourself talking about most these days? I'm not even going to want to jump into that. In fact, I haven't heard many people talk about the second coming of Christ. I hear him talk about a lot of other issues. I even hear a lot of followers of Christ in our nation talk more about our constitutional rights as if the Constitution of the United States was equal to the Bible. We are such a privileged nation. And yet, this book and the God of this book is the final authority in our life. And Jesus says that you and I are to be preparing for his returning. We are to be doing our best to getting the gospel out to every creature. Oh, there's social issues that you and I can be and should be involved with. But at the end of the day, the only thing that changes a heart, that changes a life, that changes a family, that changes a state, that changes a nation, is the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, let me speak to you right now that are watching, and maybe you have abused the grace of God. You've turned it into a grace license. You can party hardy. You can do whatever you want. You can live with whoever you want. You can sleep with whoever you want because you're under grace. Let me tell you, 1 John 3:3 says that the second coming of Christ is to be a purifying hope. Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abounds? God forbid, God forbid. May God stir us up, O church, to be about his business. Verse 6, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Many cult leaders who have claimed to be Jesus Christ, Jim Jones, David Koresh, Sun Myung Moon. Church history notes that in the first 100 years after Jesus spoke these words, no less than 64 men came on the scene claiming to be Messiah. Between the time Jesus ascended up to heaven and the time that he returns for the church, the world is going to be exposed to relentless deception by spiritual frauds. You know, it's amazing what people will believe when they don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. When people do not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will receive strong delusions. They will believe a lie. And Jesus warned us that there would be false Christs and false prophets. In Mark 13:22, and we'll get there, Lord willing, in a few weeks, Jesus said, false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. False Christs, those who blasphemously appropriate that they are the foretold one as spoken of by God. And many people have claimed to be that Christ. There are people on this earth claiming to be the Christ. False prophets, one who falsely assumes the work of a prophet. How did you know that someone was a false prophet in the Old Testament? Simply, if they prophesied that something was going to happen and it didn't happen, they were a false prophet. There was no room for error. A true prophet, his words or her words will come to pass exactly like we see in the scriptures. But these prophets and false messiahs will be able to do signs and wonders to seduce even the elect. That's a word of warning. Not everything that is supernatural or miraculous comes from God. There are going to be wonders and signs done during the tribulation period by the false prophet. There were signs and wonders done by Pharaoh's magicians. Not everything that is supernatural comes from God. In Matthew 24:11, Jesus said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So there's a deception in the message of these false Christs and false prophets. And here's the thing, beloved, here's the thing that you need to be aware of. Not everything that a false Christ or a false prophet says, not everything that they say is false. Much of what they say is true. And so how do you know what is true, what is false? Well, how does the government know what money or tender of money is valid and not valid? You know, by studying the original. How do you know who is true? How do you know who is false? You just immerse yourself in the Word of God. You see, because when someone is looking for counterfeit money, they don't study all the counterfeits. It's a trap. This isn't to ignore the validity of people that invest their lives in exposing falsehood or false doctrines or false Christs or false teachers. But you can get all tangled up studying this false teacher and that false prophet. Just study the Word of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. And the counterfeit will be obvious to you. Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 7 another warning. Beginning of verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. The word ravening there means extortioners. And it speaks of the act of wrestling money from people by manipulation or fraud. Oh my. There's a lot of them, aren't there? They financially rape you. They manipulate you. Jesus says you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. What's the fruit of a legitimate shepherd, teacher, pastor, prophet? What's the fruit? Well, you know what the fruit is. Paul tells us about it in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Beware of false prophets. Beware of, Peter would say in 2 Peter 2, false teachers. Beware of those who talk much about money, or it's all about giving. Paul says, I've coveted no man's silver or gold. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul talking to a group of elders said, and take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Christ, who is God, shed his blood for your soul. You see, again, Jesus Christ is God. That's what the Bible teaches. And then Paul says in verse 29, words that we need to heed today. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The word grievous means burdensome, stern, severe, oppressive. Not sparing the flock. Not sparing means there's no tenderness. But then he says in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, corrupt things, vicious things, seductive things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. Remember, beloved, we are here on earth to proclaim Christ, to lift up Christ, and to pray for his kingdom to come and be set up on earth as it is in heaven. We are not here to build our kingdom, build or promote our little group. We're not here to get disciples drawn after us. We are to point people to Christ and Christ alone. And Paul knew that there were people with suspect motives and driven by carnal motivation, along with those that were false and just raping people financially and ripping them off oppressively. Jesus, or Paul says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What would he do today? Probably wouldn't be enough Kleenex on planet Earth for Paul to see what he sees today. In 1 John, speaking of false Christs and false teachers and false prophets, John writes at the end of the first century, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. And so John says, here's how you can tell a false teacher, a false prophet, a cult leader. If they deny the biblical record of the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ, they are a false teacher, a false prophet. That's how you can tell. That's a simple basis for establishing who is talking about the real Christ and a false Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is both the Son of God and God the Son. That he is fully God, that he is fully man. And deception both from the world and from within the church will be prevalent even in the last days. You see, not every group that calls himself a church is a valid church. The true church is founded by and grounded in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is prominent. He is preeminent. He is Lord of all. He is God. He's not just a prophet, not just a good teacher, not just a good leader. He is God, to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But John tells us in 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And if John could say that at the end of about 90 AD, pray tell, what about now? June 28th, 2020, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, anti means opposed to, or one who replaces or usurps the place of Christ. John was living in the last times. He says, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The spirit of antichrist is alive and well on planet Earth today. The spirit of antichrist is the spirit that has given birth to every false religious system, every cult. The spirit of antichrist on the planet is the very, very reason why there is so much rebellion and animosity against the truth of God. Whatever God says is sacred or holy, it opposes that. Antichrist is alive and well. But the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, my brothers and sisters, let's stop here. We're living in very, very interesting times. And if we're not careful, it would be very easy for you and me to just check out and say, well, what difference can I make? Well, you can make a difference. Make your life count for Jesus Christ. Set your affection on things above. Purpose in your heart that you are going to be a man or a woman of God. Don't take the bait that wants to put you in this camp or that camp. Stay faithful to Christ. Jesus said, listen, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Don't follow a cause. Don't be a spiritual fireman putting out this fire, that fire. Follow Christ. Live for Christ. Proclaim Christ. Tell others about Jesus Christ. He is coming sooner than you and I think. From the cry of God to Adam in the garden, where are you? To the cry of Jesus in the book of Revelation, whoever is athirst, let him come. That's the cry of God's heart. And beloved, it is our mission, our sole mission, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the answer for every problem that exists on this planet. And our prayer is that thy kingdom come, Lord Jesus, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come quickly. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.